we've come to a very special moment. A man called Alexander picked up the phone and he said this. He said, "Thomas Watson, come here." Now, what's special about that? The special thing is that happened about 150 years ago when Alexander Graham Bell first invented the telephone. Okay? And that was a historic moment. So today is another kind of historic moment because we're doing something called a hybrid meeting where we have an event happening here with a dedication with all these lovely people. And we have all you lovely people online watching it. Okay, and newer and newer things are happening. So let me just first of all welcome all of you, especially those who have come here as our as guests of Austin and Joe and Sundar and Hazel. Thank you for joining us. Welcome for this special event in their lives. Okay, and so just to let you know, Harold is with us. So this is another amazing thing. One of the grandparents, you can clap. You know? One of the grandparents is here. That's Joe's dad. And Joe's mom is in Dubai and she's online as well. Maybe we could spotlight her and see her. Yeah. Joe's mom is there. And then we also have Sundar's dad is there in Bombay. So these are different locations all joining together. Okay. So Zoe wants us to get started. So we're going to get started. All right. So, the family is a divine institution. It was ordained by God from the beginning, and we're going to look at that more when we come to the word after the dedication. And children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord, and they've been given to the parents and for care, for provision, for protection, and for spiritual training. And you know, in today's world, we need to restate all these things. And so today we have Austin and Joe and Sundar and Hazel who've come forward with these gifts, bundles of joy. Thea and Zoe there, and they've come together as a family. And you've got Eliana there as well with her little sister. Now, at Word of Grace, we conduct something called a dedication. And rather than baptism for children. What does it mean? You know, so I just spent a couple of minutes explaining that. If you look at the Bible, and that's one of the things we'd like to do, is base what we are doing on what the Bible says. And in the Bible, it says that Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. His mother, Hannah, took him and dedicated to the Lord. The same way, we had Mary, who took the infant Jesus. Mary and Joseph took the infant Jesus and they presented him to the Lord according to the Jewish custom. So the dedication we are doing today more closely follows the biblical pattern than baptism. You know, there's no record of any infants being baptized in the Bible because baptism happens when a person says, "I believe in Jesus. I recognize I'm a sinner who's worthy of punishment and hell, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and as I put my trust in him, I know that my sins are forgiven, and I will go to heaven, and I'm going to live my life to please Jesus." Now, Thea and Zoe, cute as they are, cannot make that commitment at this stage, can they?
No,
they can't. So baptism is for people who understand, who believe in Jesus, and will trust their lives. So dedication is what we are doing this morning. And really, dedication is a public acknowledgement of the parents, right? Because really, Thea and Zoe have no role to play in this. They're just there drinking milk and eating something. They may not even realize what's happening. But really, it's the parents who are coming and saying, "We are recognizing that this child is a gift of God. We are thankful to Jesus for blessing us. And we are committing ourselves to bringing up this child in the ways of God." That is what dedication is about. And so let's carry on this morning. Children are important in the Bible. We see Paul writing about Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Wow. Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers, and they set an example in bringing up Timothy in the ways of the Lord. And we trust that Sundar and Hazel and Austin and Joe will do the same. Jesus honored the little children. You remember the incident when the children came to Jesus, the disciples said, hey, get them out of here. Get them out of here. And Jesus said, no, bring the little children to me. Wow. He honored the little children. Okay. And so really what we're doing today is more of a parental dedication, where the parents here are saying, we, as in Ephesians 6:4, we will bring up our children in the way of the Lord. Okay? And so I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to the parents here. Okay? And here it says. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 7, these are some of the instructions. These commandments that I give you today, this is Moses writing, says, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So that's a responsibility that you will carry. And you know, when our children follow the Lord Jesus and obey his commands, 1 John 3:4 says this, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in the truth. And so this morning, Austin and Joe, Sundar and Hazel are in front before God and before all of us are going to make a few commitments, and we're going to help them with that. Okay? So I'm speaking to the parents now. So if it is your intention as parents to present your child to the Lord today, and you pledge to bring her up in the training and instruction of the Lord, then please answer, we do, to each of the following promises. All right?
Yes.
Okay, the first one. Do you here this day recognize your child as a gift from God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing?
Yes, we do.
Great. Do you here this day dedicate your child to the Lord who has given her to you?
We do.
Do you here this day pledge as a parent that you will bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord?
We do.
Do you here this day promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, of school, of church?
We do.
Do you here this day pledge to pray to God to prosper and bless your child as they grow and develop?
We do.
Do you here this day promise to set a Christian example before your child as they grow up?
We do.
Do you here this day pledge to all you can do to direct your child towards a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior?
We do.
Great, wonderful. So you've heard these two sets of parents before God committing to bring up the gift that God has given them in the ways of the Lord. And now as a congregation, as part of the body of Christ, okay, can we stretch out our hands in prayer towards them? Yeah? Can we say, we support you in this noble endeavor? Father of all life, we thank you for these precious lives, now dedicated to your love and care. Lord, we pray that your mercies will follow these children all the days of their life. Lord, would you bless these parents and help them to remain faithful to the commitments and promises made this day to you on behalf of your children, as witnessed by this congregation, international congregation. Help each of us in this congregation to fulfill our responsibility to pray for these children and partner with their parents in providing the kind of environment that will bless them and lead them to meaningful faith in Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to just bless these children. And okay, so we've got Thea here. I'm just going to take her. Thea! Oh, she's coming willingly. There she is. Isn't she lovely? See that? Thea. Lord, we thank you for Kia, Lord. We bless her in the name of Jesus. We protect her. We watch over her. We pray that she would grow to know you. Smooth her for your feet. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And she agreed. She said amen. And now we have Zoe. My darling, I know it's getting tough. You see the camera with Zoe? You see the camera? Lord, we thank you for Zoe. We bless her. Yes, Lord. We just thank you for them. We pray that our parents will bring her up in the way of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our children are such a bundle of joy. And now we've got the grandparents here. We've got Harold. We've got Selena, who is in Oman somewhere. And we've got Sundar's dad there and Diana. Okay? And Harold, would you like to say a prayer on behalf of all of them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to request Harold on behalf of all the grandparents to say a prayer. Yeah? Go ahead.
The Bible says that children are a blessing from God. And as God has blessed them, we have these two beautiful daughters. We just pray that they will fulfill their destiny in God. Every child, every person is born with destiny. And you know, God says that the Bible says in Ephesians that we are His God's workmanship created for Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for them. So I pray that as they grow up, they'll grow up in the ways of God, they'll walk faithfully in the ways of God, and they will fulfill their destiny in God. I pray you, Zoe, that words are beautiful, that name is a beautiful name. It means life. I just pray that, you know, as a river of God from the temple, I think Isaiah flows, it brings life wherever it goes. I pray through your life as you grow up, you will bring life as you touch many lives. You will bring life to them. And there'll be fruitfulness in your life. And for little Tia, I just pray, you have a godly heritage. Your parents are Christians, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and you go on generations. You know, some of the writers of the Word of God, you translated the Word of God into other languages. I just pray that you will fulfill the very purpose of God, that you will go on and do great things for God. You will be a lover of God, will do great things for God. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Wonderful. Wonderful.
Come
in front.
Praying for our two little ones and saying, God, anything special to say to them today? One is both of you are girls, and girls born in a very amazing generation, an amazing time. You know, sky is unlimited for them. It's not the limit. It's beyond that. They're in a generation where everything is open for them. So sometimes it means that we have to unlearn our ideas of what women can and cannot do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go back to the Bible. That's the best place. Mm-hmm. Look at what women accomplished.
Amen.
Look at what women did. Look at it with new lenses. With new lenses. Bring them up that way. Bring them up to know that they can do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They can do a lot. It's an impression I have. We have to wait and time will tell. But I felt like Tia would be somebody who is an advocate for justice. You know, her heart will be very tender towards people who have been abused and trampled upon, and she will stand again. And a pretty similar picture for Zoe, but slightly different. She will move with compassion, and there will be great compassion in her heart for people who have not had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still see her. And I think that it's not just, she'll be a social worker. No. No, I feel medicine. I don't know why. That's how compassion will be demonstrated. We bring in healing.
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's in the name. Zoe is the one who brings life.
Yeah.
Doctors bring life
to
you.
Yeah.
Like I said,
wait. Amen. Great. So thank you, Nawaz, for that. If any of you have any words, prophetic words, or scripture verses, would you send them to the parents? We encourage you to do that. Send them, they will be blessed. All right, we're going to move on to anything you guys want to say, parents?
No, thank you so much for all our family and friends who joined. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you, Uncle, for praying. We want to go to the great Nawaz again. Thank you so much.
Thank you everyone
for joining.
Thank you everyone. All right. Over to Lasya and then the word.
Thank you, Colin, and thank you to all of you. Wasn't that wonderful? So gloriously noisy and wonderful all at the same time. I love these babies so much, and we bless them, the choicest of blessings of God upon them. Thank you to all of you who have joined in to, you know, just not only just view this, but be a part of this and bless these babies. Now, let's get into the Word of God, because that is really our bedrock, our foundation. So before that, I'll tell all the Sunday school kids that your Sunday school teacher is waiting for you. So you can go ahead and join Sunday school. And then we will come to the Word of God. So before we get into the Word of God, I just want you guys to settle down. I know there's been a lot of excitement, but settle down. It's important that we are ready to receive. So just take a second and settle your hearts and, you know, just be in a posture of receiving the Word of God. This is the one part where we actually receive from God and be fed in our spirit. The rest of the time we are worshiping, we are giving and all of that, but settle down. This is your time to receive from God right now. And I will invite Colin to come and share the Word of God with us. Colin, you're muted still.
Yeah. Okay, let's come to God's Word this morning. And the word is going to tie in with the whole, with some of the things I shared at the dedication this morning. So hang on there. Now, if I were to ask you, what is your gender? Would you have to think 10 times before you said that?
No.
Answer that question? I hope not. Okay. What is your gender? Think about it. Now, why am I asking you this question? For the simple reason that, you know, we've had these lovely two children here, Zoe and Thea, who've been born at this age in 2020, and we are in 2021, but there is such an assault and a challenge on values and ideas that were common and everybody agreed on for thousands of years. But in this day and age, a simple question as what is your gender is being assaulted and challenged. Recently, the BBC had told teachers who work with children aged 9 to 12 that there are 100, if not more, gender identities. Can you imagine? Another person said that gender is not something binary. You know, binary is one and zero, male and female, that's it. This is not binary, but it's something that is fluid. Okay? And so this morning, I want to first of all state clearly, as I share this word on the family, that what establishes and settles the fact about genders
It's not what the BBC or some researcher has come up with, that there are 100 and more genders, okay, or gender identities, but it's what the Word of God says. And in this day and age, if we want to make sure that we are not shipwrecked by all these different ideas and thoughts that are floating around and are being pushed forcefully, you know, we need to hang on to the Word of God and say, what does God's Word say? And that has the final say. So I'm going to turn to a few verses this morning to say, what is a family? How does God define it? In Mark chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus says this: however, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So here we get it from Jesus's mouth itself. There are not 100 different gender identities. There's male and there's female. Two. That's it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 31, this is what God says. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Okay. So I want to begin by establishing that God's word clearly outlines there are two genders, male and female, and God blessed them. We are made in the image of God. Only mankind is made in the image of God. Okay, we are different from the animals, from insects, from the birds, and other things. And when God made man and he made woman and he brought them together, if you notice, he says it is very good. Everybody say, very good. Very good. This is the final authority. This is what God's word says. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for family. We thank you for the boundaries that have been set before us in scripture. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding, that we would be able to live according to your divine plan. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So the first point I want to make is this, that family is from God. Okay? And the very concept of family is again from God. Okay, it is a God thing. Now, and we've looked at genders and so forth. Now, are all families equal? What is the result of godly family upbringing? What is the result of that? And, there was a man called Jonathan Edwards who lived in New York a couple of hundred years ago. And he was a believer. He was a Christian. And he married a girl of like character and life belief. And what happened was there was a study done to find the difference and to look at the legacy, this man, who was a godly man who married a godly wife and brought up their children according to the Bible. And there was a study done to find out what kind of legacy was left by this man. And this is what was determined. Okay. It says that from this union between Jonathan Edwards and his wife, they had about 729 descendants. Okay. Of this number, 300 became preachers. 65 became college professors, 13 became university presidents, 60 became authors of good books, 3 were United States congressmen, 1 became a vice president of the United States. Wow. And the family has not cost the state a single dollar. The effect of godly upbringing. Now, there was another man called Max Jukes who lived in the same state. He was not a follower of Jesus. He did not believe in Christian training. He married a girl of like character. Okay. From this union, they had 1,026 descendants. 300 of them died prematurely. 100 of them went to jail for an average of 13 years each. 190 were public prostitutes. 100 were drunkards. And they cost the state $1.2 million. They made no helpful contribution to society. What was the difference between these two men? Lived at the same time, at the same place. The difference is in parenting, in families, and the fates that were caused by Christian home training and heart conversion. So for us, we've got to our choices will determine the direction and the course that our families will take. Okay? Well, we can choose to go with God or we can choose to do it alone. But as we train our children in the ways of God, and I'll come to what we need to do, you know, the legacy we leave behind will far outlive us. We may live on this earth for 80, 90 years, but the input that we put into our children today will carry on for generations to come and will impact the earth so that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, how do we bridge that gap? How do we get from the starting point to where we want to see a godly legacy? And this morning, I've got three or four things to put down for us. Okay, and this is these are practical things. Now, and they're not in any given order. So how do we ensure, how do we move forward to leave a godly legacy? Number one, material provision. As parents, it's our responsibility to provide for our children, to provide them with food, clothing, education, and everything that we can provide for them. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay. So, speaking to the parents who have dedicated themselves to bring up their children, you know, Austin and Joe and Sundar and Hazel and others who are parents here, it is your responsibility to provide for your children. Okay? That's an important part of it. And so that's important. The second thing is not just provision, but faithful instruction. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, what happens today is in the world, we see that people provide for their children. Unbelievers provide for their children. They provide lavishly. Okay. And but just provision is not enough, because we can have spoiled kids who will just have all that they want and with no regard for parents or society. So what needs to go with provision is faithful instruction. Okay? And as we saw earlier, okay, that we need to impress the word of God upon our children. So even at this young age, when these girls are a few months old, you know, children understand. They may not be able to communicate, but they can understand. Read them the word of God. Pray with them. Worship with them, you know, that their spirits would be touched. And so that's the responsibility we have as parents. And as they grow up, you know, whatever age they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, appropriate to the age, we are giving them the word of God. Teach them Bible stories, okay, and pray with them so that they, as they grow up, will come to know and love Jesus. Okay? So the first one is material provision, where we are providing and giving them, according to our economic means, the best that we can provide for them. The second is faithful instruction, where we are teaching them the word of God. We are training them. That word training, it means includes discipline. Okay. And so, you know, in today's world, it's unfashionable to speak about discipline. But the Bible is absolutely clear, you know, that really, children need to be disciplined, because folly is bound in the heart of a child and the rod of discipline drives it away. I'm sure in society, in the last few months we've not gone out, but before that, as we've gone out, we've seen children running riot in society, doing whatever they want, and parents standing there helpless, not knowing what to do. But the Bible gives us clear instruction on bringing up children, training them, disciplining them with love, right? So we instruct, but we also train, we discipline. Okay, the next thing is giving a godly example. You know, it's one thing to instruct and to train, but we also need as parents to provide a godly example so that people can see this training in action in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul said to the Corinthians, who is children in the faith, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So all that we are training and teaching our children to do, we must be the living embodiment of that, what we've taught them, so that they can see that our walk and our talk matches. All right? So that godly example is very, very important. We need to do that. And the fourth thing is showering love upon our children. And this is the most important one, you know, in the sense that, you know, we can always see what our children, when our children do something wrong, but really what's important is that we are affirming our children. We are encouraging our children. We're just speaking positive things about our children. And our children are waiting to hear our affirmation, our approval, our encouragement. They're just waiting for that. And so, you know, Austin and Joe, Sundar and Hazel, and all of us who are parents, may I encourage us to just shower love upon children. Sometimes we hold love till our children perform well. And there's a very performance-oriented response to our love, you know, to a reward. Love is given as a reward. And we need to be cautious about that, where we are loving our children unconditionally, just as the Father in heaven loves us unconditionally. Okay? So, and there are many other things we can do, and part of that love is praying for our children as well, you know, and that's it. So this morning, just to round things up, you know, this is a short word, but to say that family is important. It is God's idea, it is not man's idea. Family, we're talking about a man and a woman, male and female, gender. We need to be clear about those things. We need to see that the actions we take with our children today are not just for our lifetime, but have repercussions in the generations beyond. You know, it was good to hear Harold this morning sharing about his ancestors and saying somewhere down the line there were people who translated the Bible. Wow, wonderful, amazing. You know, and we want to leave a godly legacy that for generations and generations, till Christ returns, will stay rooted in Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's family, legacy. And finally, the things that we've got to do, okay? Provide for our children. Make sure, you know, we are being generous and providing for them. We are faithfully training them, instructing them from God's word. We're giving them a godly example, and we are loving them amazing, unconditionally, affirming, encouraging, appreciating, and you know, doing that kind of thing. And when we do that, we are still trusting in God to bless our efforts, because at the end of the day, we need His touch. We need His Spirit to work in our children, that they would come to faith and they would continue what we have begun. Amen. Amen. Shall we just pray? Yeah. Let's just pray for all of us, especially those who are parents this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the gift of children. Lord, I pray this morning that by your Spirit, we would bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord, that we would love them, we would provide for them, we would pray for them, we would discipline them, we would appreciate and encourage them. We would lavish them with all that we can give them. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, we bless every family here that they would continue to grow in you and that the generations to come would be blessed. Just as Jonathan Edwards is such a powerful influence, Lord, so also our lives and through our children and through our descendants, the nation would be transformed. The world would be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.